Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. You're now listening to another life-changing message from Pastor Tony Williams.
If you have your Bibles, come with me to the book of, come with me to Psalms. And we're going to go straight to Psalm 91. It's a beautiful psalm. Psalm 91. And it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. And because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. It is truly a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We are very lost without your word. We won't know where to go. We won't know what to do. We are heavily dependent on your truth. And we thank you for your truth because it is absolute truth. There's no two ways about it. There's no compromising. There's no 50-50. It's absolute truth. And we thank you, Lord, that even in this place, by your grace, we can stand upon the truth that is your word. So, Lord, I pray that you use me for your glory. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is upon my life. Thank you that for what you're releasing and what you've already released and what you are releasing even now. Thank you, Lord, for strength. Thank you for supernatural ability. I pray, Father, for your children, that this same anointing will rest upon them. From my part, Lord, to preach and teach. From their part, to listen, to hear, to apply, to live out. With full understanding. No misunderstanding, but absolute clarity. So right now, I bind every single distraction of the enemy. Every single attempt of the enemy to bring any form of distraction. I bind you up right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. That's a two-part message. The title of this series is Abiding in the Presence of God. Abiding in the Presence of God. So what is your understanding of God's presence? I pray that many of you, and hopefully all of you, will have a good understanding of what it means to be in the presence of the Lord. And this understanding, I want to know this morning, and you need to know if your understanding of the presence of God has grown and developed in the time that you've walked with him. See, the secret place of the Lord is the most holy place. It is his dwelling place. It is the holiest of all. And God has welcomed every single one of us, every single one of his children, collectively, but also individually, to come into this place. There are no barriers. There is absolutely nothing stopping you and me from entering in. And this can only happen because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we read in Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 22, it says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." You have a supernatural boldness and a right to be bold when you're coming into God's presence. Before we even talk about abiding in his presence, there is the sense of entering into the presence of God. And you say, well, God is always present, so how can we enter into the presence of the Lord? What does it mean to enter into the presence of the Lord? Well, you need to understand that the presence of God is a supernatural reality. And when we talk about the holiest of all, the holiest, the holy of holy, it is a real place. And we must appreciate this morning that what is currently in heaven is the real McCoy. What was on earth, it isn't now, but what was on earth, it will be when the third temple is built, even though there will be nothing in there, no glory, nothing. There'll be there will be articles and furnishings and everything else. There will be the Ark of the Covenant, because the Ark of the Covenant is somewhere safe. The original Ark is safe. But there won't be any glory, because you know where the glory is, don't you? It's in you. The glory of God is in you. His glory is in you. For you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But this heavenly dwelling place of God, the holiest place in all of the known universe, is a real place. There is an outer court, there is a holy place, but there is the place, the holiest of all, where his glory dwells. We talk about the throne room of God. The throne room of God is a majestic place, but is also a very real place. And the throne room of God, we understand from Daniel 7, is so big that it can house over 100 million angels. Wow. But the throne room of God is another term, if you like, for the courts of God. And the courts of God represents, if you like, the outer courts, the holy place, and of course, the holiest of all. No one and nothing is permitted to enter into the holiest of all. Even now, the Holy of Holies is completely off limits to every single being outside of the Godhead. Just think about this. Even Michael, who made that declaration, Gabriel, I beg your pardon, made that declaration, that I'm Gabriel, I stand before God, I stand in the presence of God. He wasn't talking about the holiest of all. He was talking about the most holy. He was talking about the holy place. Because the holy place is the place of revelation, is the place where the God Christ, the man Christ, if you like, is symbolized. So there are heavenly furnishings. There's a heavenly there's a table with 12 pieces of bread representing the 12 tribes of Israel. There's a 7 lampstand menorah representing the light and the illumination of the person of the Holy Spirit. All these things exist in some form. And that's where Gabriel stands, because that place, the place of the altar of incense, which also exists, that exists before the veil, because you got to understand, even though the veil was torn in two on earth, it wasn't in heaven. So the veil was torn in two on earth for our sake, so that the glory of God that was on earth could not only be manifested, but it could now come and dwell in the hearts and in the lives of everyone who would be Christ's. But in the heavenly tabernacle, that veil is still intact. And this is why Hebrews then says that we have a hope that is an anchor for our soul, by which we enter what? The veil. We enter through the veil. And as we now enter through this veil boldly and courageously, we got to understand the incredible privilege, the incredible privilege that we have to be in a place where no one and nothing else other than the three persons of the Godhead can abide. That's where he has called you into. Little old you. When we think about, you know, great men and women of God, and we think about, you know, great apostles and evangelists and prophets and with all these quote-unquote big names that have lived and currently live, and we think, wow, you know, they are so powerful. They are so anointed. You know, God is using them or has used them in incredible ways. But let me tell you something. They have no more rights than you have. They have no more privileges than you have. They have access to the same bank account that you have. It's just whether or not when you get to heaven and I get to heaven, we will have more in our balance than they did. Because the plan really is for us to be completely zero balance when we stand before him, because we've used everything, every single thing that he had available to us. Everything that he says, I've provided you, I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness, it's all yours. I've given you the riches of heaven, I've given you the glories of heaven. It's all yours in Christ Jesus. Now, it's our choice to lay hold of that which Christ laid hold of us for and actually say, God, I am not going to waste my life. I am not going to just live day by day, assuming that, you know, things will happen like we've just heard. You know, if nothing is happening around you, make something happen. Amen. Make something happen. You know, complaining and basically getting frustrated, it's an absolute waste of our time. It's an absolute waste of our resource. And what God is saying is, I want you to learn what it means to you to come into my presence. But I also want you to know and learn what it means to me for you to come into my presence. It's just as important to him as it should be important to us. Because it's why he came, church. It's why he died. It's why he shed his blood. It's why he went through everything he went through so that you and I can simply learn to abide. Amen. No one else can abide in that place. No one else other than his saints. And we read about Abraham, we read about Enoch, we read about Moses, read about, you know, the patriarchs, read about David and all these great, great men of God. We read about the Esthers of this world. You know, we read about the Miriams, we read about the Deborahs and all these giants of the faith. Let me tell you something. You know, with all these incredible miracles, signs and wonders and, you know, and you think, wow, you know, we read the Bible and we should do, we get excited and it's amazing when we read all these accounts in the Bible. And we remove ourselves so far from the reality of these things, they almost become just stories. What God is saying by his Holy Spirit, you know, I heard a preach the other day. And I tell you what, man, I've never seen this before. And I almost thought, Lord, I'm going to steal this. But I said, no, I won't steal this. I need to give credit, you know. But it was the associate of Bonke, Rana Bonke, Peter Vandenberg, yeah. And he was speaking on a particular subject, and you know, he said that he's always said things like, you know, when he gets to heaven, he will the first person he would go to is Paul or whatever and say, wow, you're my hero, and you know, isn't it amazing what God did through you? And then he'll find Moses, and then he'll find Abraham, and he'll basically work his way through, You know, and obviously Jesus would have been the first person. So everyone outside of Jesus, all the heroes outside of Jesus, and he would say, "Wow, you guys are amazing. You really, you know," he'll find Peter and talk about how this incredible account in the book of Acts, you know, set his heart on fire, and you know, and all these wonderful things. So he said this to Bonke, that this is what I believe is going to happen. So Bonke rebuked him. As Bonke, right now, Bonke does. And he says, I don't actually believe that's what's going to happen. What I believe is going to happen is the reverse. I believe that when we get to heaven and we see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we see Moses, we see Peter and Paul, and we see all these people, I believe they're going to look at us and say to us, "Wow, you guys are an amazing generation. Look at everything that God released into your life. Look at everything that God poured into your life. See how you turned the world upside down. See how the Holy Spirit revolutionized your generation." I'll let that sink just for a little bit, because, you know, I was anticipating a little bit more excitement about that. And I think the lack of excitement is either you didn't understand what I was saying, or you don't believe it's going to happen that way, or it's the perception you have of yourself. Because if you saw yourself the way heaven sees you, if you saw yourself the way, you know, you've been through the mill, you're broken, you know, you've gone through everything physically, emotionally, spiritually. You have failed so many times. You have let God down so many times. You have fallen short of the mark so many times. But even now, I believe, I didn't see it before, but I truly believe that even now, when heaven sees you, they are looking and they are saying, "Wow, what a generation." Amen, a few of you. I might just keep on going to see maybe. And then everyone just clap, because for goodness sake, he needs to move on to his next point. But, you know, yay, I can move on. Wonderful, yeah, praise God. Amen. Can you see, this is, just think about it. We are so far removed. Because everything else that's happening around us are the mountains and the Goliaths and all the things that say you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you cannot. But everything in the Bible tells me that you can, you can, you can, you can, you can, and you will. Why? Because his glory dwells in you. And he says you need to come and abide with me. If this is it, you know, Josh said it, and this reminded me, and this hit me. It never actually dawned on me also. This is a decade, and it's a decade for us as well, because we were given the incredible privilege of pastoring our house 2009. This is our 10th year. And we're saying, "God, we do praise you and thank you for everything you've done over the last decade. But Jesus, the next 10 years has to be more than this. It has to be glorious, more glorious, more powerful. We want to see souls saved. We want to see disciples made. We want to see bodies healed. We want to see captives set free in the name of Jesus Christ." But until God helps us overcome this grasshopper mentality, you know, if you can see yourself the way heaven sees you, and let me just kind of change that slightly. If you can see yourself the way the devil sees you, you will recognize who you truly are.
Amen.
Wow. He said, Moses writes this psalm, and he says, you know, if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and it's a choice. It's a choice, because they're incredible. I would love to teach from every single verse, but I'll just take the first two. Because the first two, to abide. Next week, we're going to talk about like what it means to abide. What does it mean to abide in the presence of the Lord? But today, it's about understanding his presence. It's about understanding his presence. You see, before we can abide in a place, we need to understand what that place is. How can you abide in the... If you enter into a strange place, you don't really want to be there, do you? Because it's foreign, it's strange. But if you enter into a place that you know is home, it's not a hotel, but it's home, then that's where you're going to abide. You see, the word abide, the first one we have here, he who dwells in the Hebrew means to be enthroned. To be enthroned. It speaks of the person who is dwelling. It speaks of that person as though they were royalty. So the invitation is not just an invitation to say, well, come and dwell with me. But the invitation is for you to come and be enthroned with me. And we know that this is very, very much the case because we understand from Ephesians chapter 1. Where am I? Yeah, so Ephesians chapter 2, I beg your pardon. And it says, but God, verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together. How many times is you hear the word together? Three times. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He saved us together. He raised us up together. And he has made us sit together in Christ in heavenly places. But where? Of course, at the right hand of the Father. The exact same place that Jesus himself is sitting. It is the place of enthronement. It is the place of royalty. It is the place of majesty. But he emphasizes, while you were still sinners, I loved you. I saved you. I raised you up. And now I have seated you at my right hand. Yes, you've let me down. Yes, you've sinned, even now. Yes, you've done this and you've done that. It doesn't change your position. You are still sat down. You are still enthroned alongside Christ in heavenly places. This place speaks of rest. It speaks of power and authority. To be seated speaks of influence and privilege. It speaks of strategy. It speaks of victory. And then it talks about abiding. So, well, in our English language, to dwell and to abide are synonyms. They mean more or less the same thing. But in the Hebrew, they mean something very different. Because with the first one, I've said to be enthroned or to dwell, to be enthroned, to sit down, it also means to occupy. It means to inhabit. It is the same Hebrew word that is used regarding praise, that God inhabits the praises of Israel. Is the same exact word that is used. But everything that this refers to points to our external position. But to abide is slightly different. Because the Hebrew word abide means almost to tarry, particularly through the night. So to dwell means to be enthroned, but to abide here means to tarry through the night. And we understand that, you know, nighttime is, in Scripture is symbolic of things that aren't very good. Because weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. And Jesus was tried and he was tested. It happened at nighttime. The terrors come at nighttime. The witching hour is at nighttime. The operations of the kingdom of darkness are at nighttime. So there is something about the nighttime that causes the child of God to be in it. Because, you know, I talked about you being, you know, royalty. And, you know, you shouldn't be surprised when we say enthroned, because 1 Peter 2:9 says that we are a, what kind of priesthood? What kind of priesthood?
Royal.
But you see, you can be sat down, you can be enthroned, but you can still have something not right going on inside of you when you are faced with those challenges. Because, yeah, we can be sat down all, you know, dressed up in our royal garb and our robes of righteousness, our garments of praise and salvation. You know, we can have our glistening armor of God in the closet ready for us to put it on. You know, I don't know about putting on constantly wearing our armor of God, because it must get quite difficult sometimes, you know, walking around. It must be quite heavy, you know. We can have all of that, but all of that is external, if you like, in the spirit realm. It's the metal in you that the enemy needs to test. That's why he prods you. That's why there is testing. That's why there are trials. That's why we have to go through sometimes what we go through at nighttime, in the nighttime seasons of our life. But it's in those times that he says, if you dwell and then you abide, you will do so under the shadow of my wings. Because the shadow of his wings speaks of a place that has perfect climate control. It will shield you from the excruciating rays of an unrepenting and unrelenting sun, but it will also cover you and keep you warm in the cold, dark nights of despair. On the outside, we do the Christian thing. But what's really going on in your heart? Only the Spirit of the Lord knows. Sometimes you wouldn't even know yourself. God says that whatever it is, because you are not only abiding, but you are dwelling. Not only abiding, but you are dwelling. Not only abiding, but you are dwelling. You're not only being enthroned, but you are tarrying in this place. Through whatever it is you're going through, he says you will do so under the auspices, the covering, the shadow of my wings, where there is perfect climate control. And even in these two verses, I share this and I finish. We see God manifesting himself in incredible ways, but four ways specifically. Four ways, the four names of God. You see, you enter into the presence of God when and I'm going to unpack this more next week, because what does it mean to abide? When you enter into the presence of God, when you abide, when you dwell, when you abide, you need to understand what's going on. You've got to understand what is happening to you whilst you're there. Because that is where the supernatural transactions take place. That is where God says, I need to show you who I truly am so that you can understand who you truly are. I need to show you what you have access to. And I need you to start drawing from this place. You need to start drawing and spending. Freely you receive, freely you give. I'm telling you that you are surrounded by people who are looking to you for answers. They are looking to you for solutions without even knowing it. You are surrounded by people who are looking to you for silver and gold, as it were. And how many times do we walk past these people, brush past these people, talk with these people, and we can't give them what they need? Why? Because we haven't got it, or we don't think we've got it. And God says, it's not about what you have or what you don't have. It's about you realizing that I have everything. I have everything that you will ever need. But he says, if you don't make the time to draw from that place of my presence, how can you give what you don't possess? For silver and gold I don't have. Peter said to him, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I'm not going to give you what you want, but I'm going to give you what you need, because I have what you need. Hallelujah. And this is the commission that God is giving every single one of us. Every single one of us. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will love you too much to leave you in that place of seclusion. Hiding in the wrong shadows. Because too many of you are hiding in the wrong shadows. Rather than hiding behind the shadow, under the shadow of his wings, you're hiding behind the shadow of the mountain. And the Holy Spirit loves you too much to leave you in that place. The light is about to dawn upon your life. Sunset is coming. God is going to take you by the hand. He's going to draw you up. And he is going to lead you on. And it's because of his grace, it's because of his mercy, that you are going to do the things that he has called you to do. And we see this in these two chapters. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. But what do we see there? That's the first name of God. El Elyon. And this speaks about the power of God. When you come into the presence of God, you come into the power of God. Don't seek power, seek presence. Because his power is hidden in his presence. You see, anyone who seeks to lay hold of power without first paying the price for the presence is actually doing so illegitimately. That's why they stumble and they fall. That's why they misuse that power. That's why they abuse that power. That's why they rape people with that power. Spiritual rape. But when you have been in the presence of Elohim, when you have been in the presence of the Most High God, something happens. You are being transformed. And you recognize the incredible responsibility of being a steward or custodian of the power of God. Not only do we encounter this power, but we are kept by this power. 1 Peter 1, 3-5, we are kept, you are being kept by the power of God. Laurie Anderson, the missionary to the head-shrinking Kandoshi Chapra Indians in Peru, was looking for a quiet place for her daily time of Bible reading and prayer. So she went down by the edge of the river. After reading the Bible, she took out her prayer list, closed eyes. She did not, while she was closing her eyes, didn't see the deadly anaconda weaving through the water until it struck, burying its reversed fangs into her flesh. It withdrew and struck again, hitting her arm again and again. As it held onto her, She was screaming in its coils. It reared up for the death blow. Then suddenly, the giant snake, never known to release its prey, relaxed its grip and slid it off through the water. While Lori was being treated, a witch doctor from a nearby village burst into the hut and stared at her. She couldn't believe Lori had survived. And she said to her son-in-law, also a witch doctor, they had chanted to the spirit of the anaconda that morning and sent it to kill the young missionary. I'm certain, Lori said, that except for the protection of God, it would have worked. And it would have done. It would have done. Because I've said it many times, the kingdom of darkness is not, Satan is not playing. He's not playing a game. Christians are, by and large. We're playing. I don't think we fully understand what's happening here. I don't think we do. But Satan is not playing. And the kingdom of darkness is not disorganized. It is perfectly organized. And it is perfectly united. United around what? A common purpose. Which is what? To see every single one of us killed, stolen from, and destroyed. They are united around purpose. Isn't it amazing? The power of unity. That even though you have something that is so vile, so godless, so rebellious, so prideful, so wretched, it can still wield incredible power. How much more those who are called by his name, when we unite and do what he's called us to do? Why do you think the prayer of agreement is so powerful? Why do you think that we have been saved together? We have been raised up together. We have been seated together. Man and woman, husband and wife, brothers and sisters, together, together, together. If we keep on hiding behind the shadows of our inferiority and our self-doubt and our condemnation and everything else that we struggle with, God says, no, 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 come on. It's time for us to rise up. Amen. And lock shields.
Amen.
And prove, demonstrate to the kingdom of darkness the power of true unity. That's where his power of God is. It says, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we have this first name, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. That's El Elyon. That talks about the power of God. Shall abide. Shall tarry through the night, as it were, under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the second name, which is El Shaddai. It talks about the provision of God. God, the all-sufficient one, the provision of God. In the late 1800s, George Mueller operated an orphanage that at one time had 1,000 orphans. One morning, there was no food to eat. He called all the children and the staff together and prayed, thanking God for the provision of food, even though no food was on the table. A few moments later, a baker knocked on the door, and he told Mr. Mueller that God had led him to bake bread the night before and give it to the orphanage. Before the bread was given to the children, a milkman knocked on the door, and he said that his milk truck had broken down, and he wanted to give milk to the orphanage. Mueller did not pray the night before. He didn't pray the week before. He got up, there was nothing on the table, and there were hundreds of children that needed to eat. So what did he do? He just simply got everyone together and he said, let's thank God. They didn't ask God. He said, let's thank God. Let's thank God for what he has already given to us. Because he had understood what it meant to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty of El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. He had understood how to do that. Mueller was a spiritual giant, but he had no more privileges than you. He had no more rights than you. So much so, the baker guy, you know, he needs to sleep. God wakes him up. He wakes him up. It's a hard job. I don't have any clue. I watched one of these 1800 things, and 23 hours a day these people would work. baking bread with some kind of sawmill or whatever it is, you know, you can use the bread to actually make bricks. But these guys, they were incredible champions. And God still wakes him up. He said, you don't know this, but my servant, in about 7 hours' time, is about to talk to me or thank me for food that they don't have. So in anticipation, oh, Jesus, in anticipation for what is about to happen, you got to get out of your bed. I'm sorry, Mr. Baker, but you need to get out of your bed. And you need to get the preparations ready for my servant who's about to pray. God has already gone before you. He has already answered before you asked the question. Hallelujah. He has already provided before you came to him with the need. If you will learn how to abide and dwell in that secret place. I'm finished. Band come. Oh God. If we can see it, church. If we can get hold of it. Don't waste your life, please. It doesn't matter how much you've already done for God or how much you don't think you've done. There is so much more. There is so much more. Even until your dying day, even until your last breath, there is so much more. God is going to use you. He can even use you on your deathbed. He will go before you. He will make a way for you. There is so much more. Your account has to be empty. It has to be empty. Because you've chosen to learn how to dwell. To dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, of El Elyon. I will say of my God, that's Yahweh. It talks about, the first one talks about the power of God. The second one talks about the provision of God. Yahweh talks about the proximity of God. He is near to you. He is close to you. That's why he knows what you need before you even know it yourself. That's why he's ready to supply that need according to his riches in glory, church. Come on. Do you know how rich our God is? Do you know how abundant he is? And yet he's saying, all you have to do is just align yourself with my supernatural reality. And my supernatural reality will manifest into your natural reality. No one else can do it because no one else is my child. No one else has the right to come into this holiest of all. No one who is unsaved. No one who has not been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. No angel can pray for you. No angel can intercede for the state of our country, for the state of our nation. But I'm telling you, you on your own, just you on your own, you can change history. You can be used by God to alter history. Just you on your own. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. I've muddled through my message this morning because I really didn't know where God was going to take it. I have all of my notes ready. When you guys get the notes, I think there'll be some resemblance to what I preach. If you find some, bless you. I feel the sense of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Ooh. Some of you are still walking with the limp that was not afflicted upon you by God. You see, when God touches you, and you will walk differently, you will talk differently, you will see differently, you will hear differently. But for some of you, it's the battle scars, it's the lies of the enemy, it's the hurts, it's the backstabbing. And he says he needs you to be in that place of rest. He wants to bring you and place you under the shadow of his wings. This is our God. This is our Jesus. This is our Redeemer, your healer, your provider. He has invested too much into your life and my life, only for us not to lay hold of everything that he has laid hold of us for. Before we do anything this morning, Holy Spirit, just wait on him with me. Just wait on him. When you enter into his presence, El Elyon, Adonai, Yahweh, the Most High God. You are entering into the presence of the Most High God. You are entering into the presence of the all-sufficient God. You are entering into the presence of the God who is near you. He is not far. He is near you. He is near you. This morning, this afternoon now, if you don't have a relationship, you know, the presence of God is here. But I want to reach out to anyone in this place. If you don't have a relationship with your Father, your Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, then my friend, my dear friend, you are lost. You are still lost. And He came to seek and save that which was lost. If you were to die today, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you don't know, if you don't have I have an absolute assurance, and it's a blessed assurance by the grace of God. But if you don't have an assurance that if you were to die, even today, you were to leave this world even today, that you will be in eternity with Jesus. If you don't have that assurance, then my dear friend, I am pleading with you. You need to do something about it, and you need to do something about it now. You cannot put it off. You cannot put it off. Because we don't get to heaven by chance. It's not going to happen by chance. It can only and will only happen by choice. This is why Jesus came, to die on that cross for your sins, so that you might be forgiven and that you might find a way back to your resting place, your dwelling place, your abiding place in the presence of God, not only just for now, but for all of eternity. So this afternoon, if you don't have a relationship with Father God through Jesus Christ, then we want to invite you to pray with us. This prayer has no power to save you. The only person who has the power to save you and to forgive you of your sins is Jesus himself. If that is happening, and by faith I believe it is, if that is happening right now, this prayer is just a declaration. It is a confession of what God is already doing in your heart. So if you are ready to give your life to Jesus, then please pray this prayer with me and with us. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. Lord God, today I come as a sinner and I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Wash me clean in the blood of Jesus. I repent and I turn away from my old life and I turn to you for my new life, my full life, my abundant life, and my eternal life. Jesus, I acknowledge that you are my Lord and you are my Savior. So I ask you to come now and be my Lord and my Savior. Let it go from an acknowledgement to a reality. From this day, I give you my life for the rest of my life. Amen. Please look up at me. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, or maybe this morning you just wanted to be sure, you needed to have this assurance of your salvation, and you prayed this prayer and you really meant it, we just want to ask you to do one simple thing, because we want to celebrate you, but we also want to give you some information to help you on your journey. So if you pray this prayer and you truly meant it, could you just raise your hand, please, so that we can identify you and give God thanks and praise for your life. Anyone this morning? Wonderful, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's all stand. I'm not going to keep you too long. Just stand, please. I'm just going to wait on him together just for a bit. He's doing stuff. I don't want him to stop doing stuff. Just stand and I'll release you in a few minutes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Move upon your children even now. Let your glory fill this place and fill every life. He's restoring, he's healing, he's mending, he's fixing up, but he's also creating. He's making new things. He's making things new, even now, in Jesus' name. There are insurmountable circumstances that are changing right now in Jesus' name. Unchangeable circumstances are being changed right now in the presence of the Lord in Jesus' name. I don't know who that is for, but by faith, lay hold of it now. Receive it and lay hold of it and run with it and thank God for it. In the name of Jesus, there is now being released over you a greater capacity to effortlessly enter into his presence. Many of you have enjoyed the presence of the Lord. Many of you have experienced much of what I've talked about this morning. It's not new, it's not rocket science, but there is a greater capacity to have an even deeper encounter with God, the Holy Spirit, in his presence. And it's a precursor to the glory of God coming upon your life. The glory of the Lord is going to rest upon your life. You are an earthen vessel. Not only is he now going to dwell in you, he is going to dwell upon you as an earthen vessel. You look in the mirror and you see someone who is cracked, broken, dirty, marred, but he sees you and he sees you as his beautiful one. He sees you as his treasured possession. He sees you as one who is so precious to him, and he has called you by name. You did not choose him. He chose you. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Even whilst you were in the state that you were in, even after you got saved and the number of times you've let him down, he says, I haven't revoked my desire for you. I haven't changed my mind. Hallelujah. God has not changed his mind concerning you. He hasn't changed his mind concerning his purpose for your life. And even now, he is preparing you for a greater glory. I'm telling you that the glory of the latter house is going to far supersede the glory of the former house. I'm telling you, whoever is willing to receive it by faith, that what God is about to release upon you, even though you may compare yourself to the temple of Solomon, if you like, and say, oh, look at where I came from, look at what I used to do for the Lord. God says, wasn't I the one who did it through you? He says, now that which is about to do through you will far outweigh everything that he has done through you in the past. There is a glory that is going to come upon you, and God is going to release that glory upon you for effortless favor. The favor of the Lord is going to rest upon you. Doors that were closed to you are going to be open even in this hour. Even now, God is going to equip you. God is going to equip your hands. He is going to equip your mind. There is, I can see things moving even in the brain. As in, well, I'm seeing a brain. And there's a filing system that is now coming into almost like a brain, like I'm seeing a brain. And there, where there has been confusion and disorder and chaos, the Holy Spirit is now moving things around, and He is filing things, and He is putting order where there was disorder. And now the kingdom of God is moving upon you. The kingdom of God is moving in. Hallelujah. Where there was an emptiness, where there was a void, the kingdom of heaven is moving in Jesus' name. And there is a glory that is coming upon you even for such a time as this. God is calling you for such a time as this, and He is confirming who you are because of His glory upon your life. It is the same glory that is sanctifying you. It is the same glory that is raising you up even in this hour in the name of Jesus. This is not just for one particular person. This is for the corporate body, anyone who is willing to lay hold. We're almost there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's here. He's here. There's forgiveness be poured out right now. There's forgiveness being poured out. There's forgiveness being poured out. There's forgiveness, that's right. I can almost hear someone saying, God, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. No. He's not listening to you. He's pouring out His mercy. He's pouring out His forgiveness. He's pouring out His love from His glory, from the place of abiding. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just wait on Him. 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 Let Him do His work deep within. The final thing is this: it is in the everyday things that the Lord is going to equip you. He's going to cause your eyes to see things that you have missed, and God is going to sharpen and fine-tune your sensitivity to the promptings of His Spirit. That which used to be foreign to you is going to become very, very, very familiar. Is going to become very familiar. This is for everyone in this room. Receive, whoever has faith, receive. God is going to, He is going to enable you to understand the utterings of the supernatural. They are utterings of the supernatural. It's not just about the tongues of angels, not just about your heavenly language. There are utterings of the supernatural. They are, oh, thank you, God. There are secrets, the secrets of the Lord. The secrets of the Lord are with those, are kept for those who love Him, who honor Him. And now this is what He's saying. It's, you cannot love Him the way He must be loved in your own strength. He is releasing a greater capacity to yield, to surrender, to lay down, and to love. To love Him. As you pour out your love to Him, you are going to experience a deluge of His love towards you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's the secrets, even concerning our government, even concerning the next move of the Holy Spirit, the next great awakening. It is the secrets of the Lord. He is going to awaken your heart even in the night watches. He's going to awaken you even in the night watches. And he is going to go from just trusting you to entrusting you. He is going to start putting things in your hands, not just in your head or in your heart, but he is going to start putting things in your hands that will specifically be used to fulfill his purposes in this time. The Lord is healing speech impediments. The Lord is healing historic issues of historic abuse. This is not sexual. This is relational abuse. You're being healed right now in Jesus' name. Hindrances and barriers to trusting people, they are being removed right now in Jesus' name. Right now. Every barrier is being removed. Every barrier that life has put up, you have put up, circumstances have put up, other people have put, thank you, Lord, leaders have put up, pastors have put up, even I have put up. Oh God, they are being removed in Jesus' name, because nothing is going to stop you from experiencing his affection, his love. Nothing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the communion, the partnership, the intimacy, wants to walk with you. Please stop ignoring him. Please stop ignoring him. He's your helper. He's your comforter. He's the one who comes alongside. You've condemned yourself enough now. You've judged yourself enough now. The Holy Spirit wants to walk with you and you with him. And that's exactly what's going to happen. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Give God praise. See you later.